Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. We've got three cybersecurity stories today that are really interesting. Not your typical data breaches.
Right? Definitely a lot to unpack.
Yeah. So first of all, is this new phishing as a service platform.
Oh, phishing as a service.
Yeah. They call it Darkula.
Like Dracula.
Yeah.
Come on.
For phishing. This one's really got me concerned because it basically lets cyber criminals create phishing kits that are like really good and they can target any brand. I mean, like super easy.
Wow. And what makes this one different than other ones that we've seen in the past?
Well, it uses this tool called Puppeteer to like clone legitimate websites. So it's not just like they're copying the code or something. It's like every little detail is captured, like the layout, the fonts, the images, even like how the website interacts, like when you click on things. So it's basically like a perfect mirror image.
Oh, wow. That's scary. And so then it's like really hard to tell the difference between the real one and the fake one.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just a static copy. They can actually make these phishing sites interactive.
Oh, wow. So you can like log in and it takes you to another page. It looks like the real thing, but it's not.
Yeah. And this Darkula suite comes with all sorts of features.
Is it going to say what else comes with this?
It's got a do-it-yourself kit generator. It has anti-detection measures, a user-friendly admin panel, even a tool that converts stolen credit card data into virtual cards. It's pretty crazy.
It's like a one-stop shop for phishing. Wow.
Yeah. So what do you think about the potential impact of this platform? Because, I mean, it sounds like it could be really bad. Like, you don't need to have any technical skills to use it.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying to think about that anybody could become, like, a sophisticated phisher. I think you're right. It could be really bad. I think we're going to see a lot more really convincing phishing attacks because of this.
Okay. So if I'm understanding you correctly, Darkula, F-A-S-S, as it's pronounced, is like a big jump forward for phishing attacks. And it could really change the cybersecurity landscape. Like, if anyone can launch these kinds of attacks, what does that mean for, you know, the average person just trying to go online and check their bank account or, you know, buy something on Amazon? Like, what can we actually do to protect ourselves?
Well, I think the first thing is we need to change how we think about it. We can't just rely on things like spam filters and antivirus software. I mean, those are important, but they're not going to catch everything, especially against these really targeted attacks.
So you're saying it all comes down to us, the users. Like, we need to be more aware, more skeptical of everything we see online.
Yeah, you've got to be questioning everything, double checking, looking for like red flags, anything that might mean it's phishing. You need a healthy dose of paranoia online.
So paranoia is the new black when it comes to cybersecurity.
That's
right. Okay, we'll get into some specific tips and strategies you can use to protect yourselves from these kinds of attacks later on in the show. But for now, let's switch gears completely and talk about quantum computing.
Ooh, from phishing to quantum mechanics. Sounds fun.
Yeah, big jump. I know. But they're more connected than you might think. So before we go too deep, can you just give us like a basic overview? What is quantum computing and why should we care about it, especially when we're talking about cybersecurity?
Okay. Well, quantum computing is basically a new type of computing. It uses the principles of quantum mechanics to do calculations in a totally different way than regular computers.
Quantum mechanics, that's like super complicated physics stuff, right?
It is.
Do I need a PhD to understand this?
You don't need a PhD, but you need some imagination. Yeah. So the basic building block of a quantum computer is a qubit. It's kind of like the quantum version of a bit in a regular computer. But the difference is a bit can only be a zero or a one. A qubit can be both at the same time.
Both at the same time. How is that possible?
It's called superposition. It's a mind-bending concept, but it's one of the crazy but really powerful things about quantum mechanics. So because of this, quantum computers can do certain types of calculations way faster than regular computers.
Okay, so we're talking like a whole new level of processing power.
Yeah.
But how does that translate into a cybersecurity threat?
Well, imagine a quantum computer that's so powerful it can crack the encryption we use to protect our data. You know, online banking, secure communications, even like national security secrets, all that could be vulnerable.
Okay, that's scary.
Yeah. But there's also opportunity. Quantum computing could also help us create new encryption methods, quantum-resistant encryption. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
So it could break encryption, but it could also make encryption stronger.
Exactly.
So it's like a Pandora's box of risks and possibilities all at the same time. But how far off is this? Are we talking years, decades, centuries?
It's closer than you might think. Companies like Google, IBM, Microsoft, they're all making huge progress in quantum computing research. We're seeing breakthroughs all the time.
So this isn't just science fiction anymore.
Nope.
This is something that could happen in our lifetime.
Yeah. It's a potential paradigm shift in computing. And that means we need to start getting ready for both the challenges and the opportunities.
Okay. Let's put a pin in that for now and come back to it later. For now, let's get back to reality with a story that highlights the very real consequences of cybersecurity failures that are happening right now.
Yeah, this is a story we're hearing more and more these days. A big organization that's entrusted with sensitive data doesn't take security seriously enough, and they end up paying the price.
You're talking about Health Net Federal Services, right? HNFS. They just agreed to pay $11 million to settle allegations of cybersecurity failures.
$11 million? That's not small change. What did they do?
Well, HNFS was hired by the Defense Health Agency, the DHA, to provide healthcare support services for TRICARE.
TRICARE.
That's the healthcare program for millions of military service members and their families. So we're talking about a ton of sensitive data.
Yeah, a lot of data.
Yeah.
And the contract required them to meet certain cybersecurity standards.
Right. Makes sense.
They had to comply with NIST Special Publication 853.
853.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically a set of security controls for federal information systems.
Cybersecurity best practices, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
But according to the Department of Justice, HNFS didn't implement these measures for years.
For years? Wow. So they just completely ignored it.
Basically.
Were they hacked? Did they lose data? What happened?
The details are still kind of fuzzy, but it seems like they were just negligent. They didn't take basic security precautions.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, they didn't scan their systems for vulnerabilities. They didn't patch things.
So like basics stuff.
Yeah. And they ignored auditing reports that showed cybersecurity risks.
So they knew about the problems, but they didn't do anything about it.
Right. And on top of that, they didn't even have basic security controls like strong passwords and access controls and firewalls.
Wow.
And to make matters worse, they lied about it.
Lied about it.
They falsely certified compliance in their reports to the DHA.
So they said they were doing the right thing when they weren't.
Yeah, they were basically lying about their security practices. And now they're paying the price.
Wow.
This story is a good reminder that cybersecurity is not something to mess around with. The consequences can be really serious for everyone involved.
Definitely. It shows how important transparency and accountability are. Organizations need to be honest about their security, and they need to be held responsible when they screw up.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought to end on. But we'll be back in just a minute to continue our deep dive into these stories. We'll explore some more of the technical details and talk about how these trends might play out, so stay tuned.
Looking forward to it. Welcome back, everybody.
We've been talking about some pretty serious threats.
Sophisticated phishing and quantum computers.
And the consequences when cybersecurity fails.
A lot to think about for anyone who uses the internet.
Let's go back to that Darkula FAS platform for a minute.
Yeah.
Said they use Puppeteer to create those really convincing phishing sites.
Right, and that's what makes Darkula so dangerous.
What?
It's not just copying the website's code. They're using Puppeteer to create dynamic interactive copies that really look and feel like the real deal.
Like a perfect replica, not a cheap knockoff.
Exactly. Imagine getting an email that looks like it's from your bank. You click the link and it all looks right. The logo, your account, balance, everything. But it's fake. It's all designed to steal your login.
And so Puppeteer makes that level of deception possible.
Exactly. It's a really powerful tool. Google developed it for web scraping and automation. But in the wrong hands, it's perfect for creating phishing kits.
How does it actually work? Does it like take a snapshot of the website or something?
It's more sophisticated than that. Puppeteer controls a headless Chrome browser, which means it's running in the background without a user interface. And as it browses the target website, it captures all the elements. The HTML, the CSS, the JavaScript images, fonts, everything.
So it's like a digital puppet master controlling a web browser to do its bidding.
Yeah, it's creepy, but that's a good way to put it. And once they have this replica, they can tweak it.
Right.
They can replace the login form with their own, so it sends your credentials to them. They can even mess with two-factor authentication to bypass security.
So sneaky. How can we protect ourselves if the phishing sites look exactly like the real thing?
It's a real challenge. It comes down to awareness. You have to be extra careful about every email you open, every link you click, every website you visit.
So it's not just typos and bad grammar anymore.
No, you need to be looking for subtler clues. Double check the sender's address. Is it really from your bank or is it slightly different? Hover over links to see where they go. Look at the website address. Does it match the real one?
We need to be like internet detectives, always on the lookout.
That's a good way to think about it. And if you're ever unsure, don't click anything. Don't download anything. Don't enter personal information. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Good advice. We'll share more tips on spotting phishing later. But for now, let's jump back into quantum computing and its potential impact on cybersecurity.
Yeah, last time we were just scratching the surface. It's worth diving a little deeper into how it could disrupt things.
You mentioned that quantum computers could crack our encryption.
Right. Most of our online security relies on encryption algorithms that normal computers can't crack. It would take them billions of years.
But quantum computers could do it in hours or minutes.
Potentially. There are quantum algorithms like Shor's algorithm that are designed to factor large numbers, and that's how a lot of encryption works. Once quantum computers are powerful enough, it's game over for those algorithms.
So everything we use for secure communication, online banking, email VPNs, even government secrets could be at risk.
Yeah, it's a real concern, and security experts are taking it very seriously. The good news is there's a lot of work being done to develop quantum-resistant encryption.
So it's a race against time. Can we develop these new algorithms before quantum computers get powerful enough to break the old ones?
That's the challenge. Researchers are looking at different approaches, things like lattice-based cryptography and code-based cryptography. Some are even using quantum mechanics itself to create quantum-resistant encryption.
So the same tech that could break our systems could also make them stronger.
Exactly. It's a fascinating area of research, and it'll have a huge impact on cybersecurity. We're at the beginning of a new era of computing, and we need to stay ahead of the curve.
It sounds like the cybersecurity landscape is going to get even more complicated.
For sure, but it's also really exciting. We're seeing cutting-edge technology innovation and global collaboration all working to address these new threats.
It's fascinating and terrifying at the same time. For now, let's focus on what we can do to protect ourselves from the threats we face today.
Right. We need practical tips and strategies that everyone can use to stay safe online.
Sounds good to me. But before we do, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Cyber Mornings Daily. Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily.
We're wrapping up our deep dive into cybersecurity. But before we go, let's talk about the most important piece of the puzzle.
You mean the human element, right?
Yeah. You can have all the best technology and security systems, but it all comes down to the choices people make.
It's like having a high-tech security system on your house, but leaving the front door wide open.
Exactly. So how do we fix that? How do we make sure people are as security conscious as the technology we use?
Yeah, those check-the-box security trainings are useless.
Mm-hmm.
We need to show people how what they do, online and offline, affects their security and the security of their whole organization.
And it's not just telling them what not to do. It's about empowering them to be proactive, to know the red flags we talked about, and to report anything suspicious before it becomes a big problem.
It's about creating a culture of security.
Exactly. Everyone needs to feel responsible, and they need the tools to protect information. And that has to start at the top. Leaders need to make it a priority, invest in it, and provide the resources people need.
It can't just be talk. It has to be part of the organization's DNA.
And it's an ongoing process. Cybersecurity threats are always changing, so we have to adapt.
It's a journey of learning, adapting, and improving all the time.
So let's recap. We talked about phishing as a service platforms like Darkula.
And how they're making it easy for criminals to launch really convincing phishing attacks using Puppeteer.
Right, and how those platforms are empowering anyone, even non-technical people, to create sophisticated phishing websites and campaigns.
So vigilance and awareness are more important than ever.
Then we explored quantum computing.
And its potential to both revolutionize and disrupt cybersecurity.
We discussed the threat to encryption and the race to develop quantum-resistant algorithms.
The key takeaway there is that quantum computing is coming fast, and we need to be ready for it.
Finally, we talked about the healthcare organization that got in trouble for cybersecurity failures.
It was a good reminder about the importance of compliance, transparency, and accountability.
It shows that cybersecurity is not just an IT problem, it's a business problem, and everyone has a role to play.
So as we face all these new threats, remember, knowledge is power.
Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay engaged.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. We hope you learned something and maybe even had a little fun along the way.
We'll be back next week with more insights on the latest cybersecurity trends.
Until then, stay safe online. And remember, cybersecurity is a journey, not a destination.
From all of us here at Cyber Mornings Daily, thanks for listening.